led to today. Let's take another moment and browse through this buffet. Cold beer on a hot plate, gonna set ourselves to eat. Once more we slip into the past, we'll be
welcome. This is Jack,
Donna,
Becky,
and Jeff,
and we are doomed to reheat.
Yes, we are.
Let us date stamp this monstrosity. It is June 9, 2017. Happy June.
Yes.
We're officially in the halfway month of the year, but it won't be halfway until actually in July. Right, because the February thing fucks everything up, right? So the halfway point is actually like July 2nd. Jeff and I are about to jump into some Blue Point Toasted Lager. It's toasted. Oh, it has a lovely head.
So toasty.
So lagery. It's the ends. Make them better.
Hey.
Yeah, leave it. Okay, so cheers on the day.
Yay.
And thanks to the fine people at Blue Point for their toasted lager. Mm. Mm. Oh, that has got definite malt to it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The toasting brings the malt out. Oh, that is a malted beverage. I could be very happy with that. Okay, so American style amber toasted lager from Blue Point, and they are out somewhere in the world.
Be a pisser if they weren't on the world.
Patchogue, New York, and Baldwinsville, New York.
Oh,
so they're all New Yorky. All right, so you got your homework ready for today?
Yes, I do. Oh, they're all 20th century.
Oh, well, we are modern history right now.
Okay, in 1915, Les Paul was born.
Yay, Les Paul. He'd be 102 right now.
Yeah, inventor of the, well, not inventor, but
popularizer of the electric.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also from Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Oh, good for him.
I've been in Waukesha. There's a street named after him.
I've been to Waukesha.
The first Brinks armored car in 1923.
Oh, sure. When the first one was knocked over on June 10th?
Actually, it was called a security van.
Of course it was.
This is a Disney thing. In 1934, Donald Duck debuted.
Oh.
I did look at that one. I thought about Duck. We could do all kinds of ducky things, but we did not.
We could run around without pants.
Well, sure, you do that all the time, Jeff.
I'm Donald Duckin. In 1969, Brian Jones left the Rolling Stones.
He left before he died?
Yeah, a month before he died.
I did not know that.
He was having all kinds of trouble getting visas.
Mm.
So they're having trouble touring.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was a troublemaker, absolutely.
Yeah, he got busted for substances. In 1973, the horse Secretariat won the Belmont Stakes.
Yeah, go Secretariat.
And was the first Triple Crown winner since Citation in 1954.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they made a movie about him, and it was all lovely, and I can't get horse meat in this country, so go on.
That was it. That's all I came up with.
Oh, you missed it completely. Yeah. You'd think the Iran would have been a good one for the Secretariat, because the Secretariat was running. No, today, June 9, in 1980, Richard Pryor ran down the street.
Oh, God. I saw that, and I thought, he can't.
He happened to be on fire at the time. And it's quite a miraculous series of events, and we are celebrating this evening. So we have some...
We're going to smoke crack?
No, he was not smoking crack, Jeff. He was freebasing cocaine.
Oh, okay.
That is a...
Yeah, that's different.
Marginally different thing. Okay, so we are going to do a little bit of tableside love here. Baby, I'm going to ask you to scooch just a little bit here. Okay, because I'm coming in hot.
Ooh.
Okay, now these plates are hot.
Okay, then.
So do not touch.
It's a hot plate.
The hot plate.
Intimidated by this.
Oh, the plates will cool in time for us to do things with them. But we want a warm plate. And this is a spinach bacon salad with a flambé hot bacon dressing.
Oh, yeah. There's a restaurant in Kenosha that does a spinach salad with hot bacon dressing.
Ooh.
Indeed. Well, it smells wonderful.
I should hope so. Put a lot of love into this one.
Oh, it's the secret ingredient.
A garnish of bacon. For everyone. And voila.
Indeed.
I will snap a picture. Oh, I made myself the pretty one.
Aw, isn't it wonderful? And the plates are tolerable.
Oh yeah, just a warm plate. In a warm salad, you got a warm plate.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, that smells amazing.
Mm. It's hard to go wrong with, you know, hot bacon drippings on anything.
Yeah. Bacon makes everything better.
Mmm.
Now, this is your greens for the week, right?
Yeah.
So, this recipe calls for wilted spinach and watercress. You know, we don't use watercress a lot.
Can you even find it?
I got some. It's in there. Watercress is one of the magic eight vegetables in V8 juice.
Oh.
As is spinach. So we've got V2 on a plate. Bacon V2 on a plate. Hot bacon V2 on a plate.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Bacon V8.
Ooh. Bacon V8 would be delightful. We should contact the V8 people and say, hey.
Have you considered?
Not with bacon. Bacon's a vegetable, right? You could call it V9. Mm.
Bacon is so good it is damn near anything it wants to be.
It is a definite malleable substance.
Bacon is God's proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy.
There is no God but bacon.
No more eating him.
Please.
And bacon will tell you to worship no other God before me.
Well, I think we've offended everybody now. So.
Oh, we're working on it.
I got a stupid question.
Okay.
Why are we celebrating?
Oh, did you sleep through that part?
Mm-hmm.
No. In 1980, Richard Pryor ran down the street. He happened to be on fire at the time.
Okay. Thank you.
What movie was it? Was one of his concert movies?
It was. Was it Live at the Sunset Strip?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it was. It was Live at the Sunset Strip. I can't like the damn.
Why do you need it lit?
Here, do the joke.
What's this?
I don't know.
Richard Pryor running down the street. Now, he made that joke himself.
Yes.
He was not always a aggressive out there.
Shock comedian?
Sure, we'll call it a shock comedian. I think he was doing a little bit more than that. But yeah, that's a place to start with the description of Richard Pryor. Mm-hmm. When he started out in like Greenwich Village in the early 60s, he was, you know, just a guy. He was modeling himself after Bill Cosby. And he was doing relatively mundane, light humor. Which is not really his character, right? Nor his background. Guy had a horrible, horrible life.
Mm-hmm.
His mother was a prostitute, and his grandmother was a madam of a chicken ranch kind of place. A brothel, they call it, in the research. It's a whorehouse, right? And he and his four siblings grew up in the whorehouse.
Do you want to just lie down?
Thank you for offering. I can almost open my eye.
One eye's gonna do you almost no good in this world. Depth perception, very important. Of the one-eyed. Well, sure, they can lead the blind, but a lot of times they lead them right over the cliff because they couldn't tell where
the edge was.
They
didn't know where the edge was, yeah.
So Pryor, when we're talking about Richard Pryor, grows up in a whorehouse. His mom takes off. His dad's a deadbeat boxer, loser. So he's lived with his grandmother, the madam of a whorehouse, and she was apparently relatively brutal. And he was beaten a lot, and he was abused in a whorehouse kind of way, starting at the age of 7. Gets kicked out of school at 14, runs away. Ends up joining the army. He's in the army 2 years. Spends almost the entirety of his army career in an army prison. He got into an altercation when there was some fellow soldier who was a white fella who enjoyed too much of the racist parts of some movie that was being, you know, played for the boys at the, you know, the place. This is in Germany. And so he and a number of his fellow soldiers beat and stabbed the guy. So he spent 2 years in army prison, gets, you know, drummed out.
Right.
And heads to New York to, you know,
make his way.
Well, you know, follow his dream of making people laugh. Because, you know, in a situation like he's in, laughter's pretty much all you got.
Okay, your head's about to hit the plate.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, looks like we're about done with this spinach course, so why don't we put a pin in this? And when we come back, we will talk about the career of Richard Pryor, Burning Man. Cheers.
Back in a moment.
Everybody, let me get a picture. Oh god, that's a pretty plate. Look at that. It's just sloppy. Oh, and I almost forgot. Jeff and I have more beer.
Oh Jesus.
So we have to stop being little girls with our last beer.
Yes.
Okay, so what we have is a steak Diane. Which has got a mushroom butter sauce that is flambéed.
And the microwave also got flambéed.
Well, we did flambé the microwave a little bit. The rump bomb 151 has got a volatility to it.
I seriously thought for a second that the house was going to catch on fire and we would all die.
I've been telling Jeff all day that I'm going to kill us all tonight. Okay, and alongside that is a asparagus in mushroom flambé rum sauce.
So nothing here has not been on fire.
Well, the puff pastry has not been on fire.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give you that bottle, so when you stop being a girl, you can drink our second brew, which I believe is local.
Oh.
The High Heel Brewing, which I think is out of somewhere... Lakeland, in Lakeland, Florida, and the two hop to handle IPA, like poor Richard Pryor was two hop to handle as he was running down the street.
Oh, that's horrible. Horrible joke.
Oh, yes.
But seriously, that's a great choice of a beer.
Yeah, we know. We got Diane. Plenty of good beers tonight. So drink up, because we have a third course coming as well.
And there's beer for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, I did not go with the filet mignon cuts for the steaks. So these are a lesser cut. But a sirloin tip steak.
That's not really that far off.
No, it's good. Oh, it's good.
Sorry about the clinking.
And the clinking?
Yeah.
And the blinking and the blanking?
I feel like the Tin Man.
Oil can, oil can, oil can, oil can. Now, I don't know how your knife's going to do with this steak, Jeff. But you can be a man and ask for someone to cut your meat for you.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. You're right.
So good.
Oh, dear God, you will not do that.
Okay. What's she doing?
She's trying to fuck up one of my best knives is what she's doing.
Oh.
Here, baby, I'll take care of it, all right? Excuse me.
Oh. Oh.
That was my bad?
Yeah. No, that was my asparagus.
That was my bad on your asparagus.
Oh, I see.
Hot dad on asparagus action?
I don't know how hot it was, darling.
No.
I mean, the asparagus is still kind of hot, I suppose. Oh, God, tell me we're recording.
Oh, yeah, we're recording.
Oh, that's great.
This is the show. All right. If this is not enough for you,
yeah.
One can always come back.
I'll just pick it up and eat it.
Just kind of gnaw at it.
Oh, God.
It's a fine piece of meat, right?
I think filet mignon would have been wasted on this.
Right? And the way they had to get the filet and then pound it out, right, to make it even, I guess, softer.
Tenderer.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so what are you doing?
What's she doing?
I don't know. She's fucking around the kitchen.
What's that, Basil?
But the great thing about these kind of steak recipes is, you know, the flavor profile jumps from cut to cut to cut very easily.
Uh-oh. Come here, Hazel. Come on. Good girl. No.
Sadly, the asparagus mushed up a little too much for my taste.
Oh, really? You think so? I didn't want to say anything. I thought maybe that was a choice.
Mushy asparagus is a choice?
No.
But I mean, I suppose some people would do that. The average housewife in the 1950s. Sounds about right.
Because it's very good, it's just not, you know.
It's not snappy.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Oh, Jesus. Did you have a piece of mushroom yet?
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have the piece of mushroom from the steak or the piece of mushroom from the asparagus?
Oh, this was the steak. Oh.
Well, I almost cut four pieces there, Jeff.
It's okay. I just gotta... There, see, it's falling apart now.
He's gonna pick it up and fling it around a little bit.
Hazel. Go lay down. Hazel, go lay down. Okay.
So the puff pastry is a garlic puff pastry.
Really?
Can you tell?
No, I haven't had enough.
No, I can't taste the garlic.
I will be more liberal with it next time.
Oh, God, put me in my big mouth.
Careful what you wish for.
Okay, if I concentrate on it, I can taste it.
So, a subtle undertone.
Inquiring minds want to know, what does the second horse have to do with what?
Puff pastry.
Puff pastry doesn't have anything to do with it. It's just a good base for what we had going on.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't want to set a starch on fire.
Fair enough.
I'll burn meat. I'll burn green, right? Burn flour. It's not good.
Yeah, burnt bread is not appetizing.
Now, I suppose I could have done some sort of savory bread pudding. Soaked it in rum and set it on fire. Just make it a little toasty on the outside, right?
Right.
But you bring up a good point. We were talking about Richard Pryor. So after the army makes its way to New York, starts hanging out in the Greenwich Village scene, right? Ends up opening for Gladys Knight, I think it was.
Oh, wow.
Doing shows, performing alongside Woody Allen, Bob Dylan, the other, notable faces in Greenwich Village. Starts to make a name for himself. Puts out a couple of albums, makes a couple of TV appearances, gets friendly with Mel Brooks, and they write Blazing Saddles together. What? You're staring at me. Aghast, agog.
I have a good Richard Pryor story.
Oh, I would love to hear your good Richard Pryor story.
Have you ever seen the cut of the talk show that's got Milton Berle and Richard Pryor together?
Mm-mm.
It gets really uncomfortable. And Richard Pryor says something about a baby out of wedlock, and apparently Milton Berle has just gone through that. And so there's a really uncomfortable vibe between the two of them. Look it up online sometime.
Is it enjoyable to watch people have bad vibes?
Oh, no, it's horrible. It's like a car crash.
Mm. So it's like the bad flavor jelly bean, where you say, this is awful, you have to try it. You're one of those guys.
Yeah, you're right, I am.
You know, you always play at being the guy that takes the one for the team and saying, oh, I have saved you. Don't eat that. I'll take care of it for you. But it's not true. If it were horrible, you would let everyone eat it. If I serve people pig ears and you had a bite of pig ear and you knew what everyone else was about to get into, you wouldn't say, stop. Don't eat the pig ears.
Damn it, Dad, I almost snorted. Do you know how much it hurts? I mean, water alone going through your nostrils is...
No, something carbonated is worse.
Yes. Something distilled is even worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Daniels in your nose?
Jose Cuervo, yeah. Worst moments of my life, which immediately followed some of the brightest moments I was experiencing. It was a delightful, and then the world burned. So Richard Pryor helped write Blazing Saddles. There was three or four writers breaking out that movie. Mel Brooks, Hellman, the whole thing. Gene dipping his toe into the writing, part of things. After having so much success with the producers, right? Richard was supposed to play the sheriff.
Okay.
But because of his decorated and checkered past and his erratic behavior as a celebrity, rising celebrity, he couldn't get insurance. They wouldn't touch him. They said, the insurers don't believe Mr. Pryor is capable of completing the film, and we are not going to bond out your production. Couldn't get him insurance. So Mel Brooks cast Cleveland Little in the role. But it is where Richard and Jean first met.
And went on to have a story.
Oh, they had a delightful collaboration, right? Silver Streak came out in, I don't know, 78 maybe. And Stir Crazy, which came out, I think, in 81 or 82. But they were filming it in 1980 when Richard decided to, as usual, have a Coke-filled house party at his home. Which, since we're about done here, we will talk about during our next segment. So, cheers, everybody. We'll be back in a minute with the rest of the prior experience.
It's not a minute, it's like 20.
It's going to be more than 20. Cheers. Bye, in a moment.
Walking along the avenue, never thought I'd meet a girl like you. Auburn hair and tawny eyes, the kind of eyes that hypnotize me through, hypnotize me through. And I ran so far away. I just ran, I ran all night and day. Couldn't get away.
All right, and welcome back. This is Doomed to Reheat. Doomed Done to Reheat. Oh, look at that. So, no, Jeff, I have not maraschinoed any cherries for us. But I have Jubilee cherries.
Well, that's all well and good. I guess doing your own maraschino would be...
I did look up at one point the instructions on how to maraschino a cherry.
Oh my god. Somebody's going to be sorry she went to bed.
Right?
Jesus.
Alright, well this one's got to go back over here.
The fire's melting the ice cream.
Well, yeah, we have to eat it fast.
Oh.
Oh, I just burned the shit out of my tongue.
We knew that was going to happen.
Spoons. Mm. Beer. Okay. So with our Cherries Jubilee Flambé, we have from Cider Boys the Cherry Jubilee Apple Cherry Hard Cider. All right, I did throw out a spoon for you. I threw out a spoon for me. Would you like whipped cream?
It's up to you.
We have whipped cream.
Oh, so you didn't whip your own, huh?
No, I did not whip my own cream. Not today.
I bet when people go to Gordon Ramsay's house, they get actual whipped cream.
It depends on why they're going to Gordon Ramsay's house, I would think.
Okay, I just had a real bad mental picture.
I mean, if they're going to Gordon Ramsay's house to clean out his pool or mow his lawn, they might not get real whipped cream. The poor things.
How is this?
It's delightful.
It looks wonderful.
It is very good at soothing a burned tongue.
How the hell could you burn your tongue?
I licked the spoon that I was using to spoon the ignited Cherries Jubilee into the ice cream bowls.
Ah.
It's entirely my own fault. I will grant you that.
So the interior bowl here is edible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a waffle bowl.
Oh. Did you make your own waffles?
I did not. But that is one thing that went through my mind earlier today. Is do I want to make my own waffle balls? Problem is, we do not have the appropriate waffle iron to make bowls, right?
I can imagine.
We have the puffy kind of waffle, right? Mm-hmm. You need more like a pizzelle iron to make a waffle bowl.
And you don't have one?
Don't have one. Now, if I had one, I would probably use it about once every 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, it's not exactly cost effective.
Mm. And certainly not worth the space it would take to hold.
Oh, yeah, that's
it, right?
That's the big thing, right?
Remember, Alton Brown always talked about not having anything in his kitchen that didn't serve multiple purposes.
Oh, okay.
So if you had a gadget or a tool that only did one thing, you had another tool that did that thing essentially nearly as well. Get rid of the clutter. There was a joke that the only thing that only served one purpose in his... Oh, you took pictures of me flambéing. I don't think we took pictures on Sunday.
Oh, shit. Camera hog.
All right. There they go. Lovely. The only thing that served one purpose in his kitchen was a fire extinguisher. And then he did another show where he used a fire extinguisher to crack walnuts. Oh, those cherries. They're so jubilant.
Yeah, aren't they? I think Bananas Foster would have been a better choice. But...
What about crepes? Is that?
I don't know if I trust your ability to make a crepe.
Well, it's not my ability to make crepes. That's really a question. Because I've made crepes before. You've eaten my crepes. You've creped the fuck out of my crepes. You crepe them. You know, sometimes you just get a creping.
Are you saying I'm a crepist?
I am saying you're a crepist. You come up and crepe people, they should point at you and shout, crepe! Crepe! We'll get them whistles.
Crepe whistles?
Crepe whistles.
You know, Becky wants to bring her boss over here.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. This is downtime. People get to be nutty on their downtime. They're allowed. If not, they encouraged. Get their, you know...
Yeah.
Get their relax on. Mm. So, did you notice the entire lack of lactose in the ice cream?
I did not.
Okay. I went and got a half gallon of lactose-free vanilla ice cream and then ruined it by putting whipped cream on top of it. So, I will not be able to accurately gauge how my digestion handles the lactose-free ice cream. Because I have zero, if not less, self-control. You know, to maraschino one's own cherries, one has to acquire maraschino liqueur.
Have you ever looked for it?
I have not. I have never had a desire to maraschino my own cherries, as I do not like maraschino cherries.
Do you think that online you could find a place to buy the liqueur?
Hell, they might have it at the Total Wine across the street. They have a wide selection. I haven't perused through their entire liqueur selection,
But they might have a maraschino liqueur available. I don't know what a maraschino liqueur is supposed to taste like. So I don't know what good alternatives there would be to a maraschino liqueur. You wouldn't replace that with, like, a Midori melon liqueur. That would be horrible.
Yeah, no.
No. And you're not going to go with, like, an anisette? A Frangelico?
What? There is a cherry-flavored liqueur, though.
Oh, God. What a Bounce, right? Cherry Bounce?
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. So you just take the cherries and you blanch them in a little sugar water and then pack them in a jar with, you know, cherry liquor. Which, now that I say that out loud, makes me wonder why we haven't had it before. The ladies all love a good cherry liquor.
Cherry liquor, yeah.
Liquor. We were talking about Richard Pryor. So, in the afternoon of June 9, 1980, probably already a day or two, or a week or two, or a month or two, or a year or two, into a massive cocaine binge, because this is Richard Pryor, they watch a replay, news recording, whatever, of, I'm not going to be able to say the name, Tuat Young Vek, or something like that, Vietnamese monk who sets himself on fire.
Okay.
Right? And so that's apparently in his brain. And so he keeps, free basin, using the fire on the spoon and sucking up that, cocaine smoke and getting more and more wild and crazy out of his head. And there's a whole bunch of people there because it's Richard Pryor's place. And there's always, you know, entourage and hookers and party people and things around, right? So he's been binged out for God knows how long. And, you know, coke does wonderful things to people when you do that much of it. So he decides that he is going to commit suicide. And so he takes the bottle of 151 rum and pours it on himself and sets himself on fire. He had fire available because he was freebasing, and he needed that to, you know, cook the spoon, right? Sets himself on fire, and everybody in the room panics. And they grab blankets or whatever, and they try to, you know, wrestle him to the ground and put out the flames. And Richard's having none of it, because he is Richard Pryor, and he's going to do what he wants, God damn it. And so he jumps through the front window while he's on fire and runs down the street, which is in a residential neighborhood in Los Angeles. And luckily enough, a police cruiser happened to be going by and saw a man running down the street on fire. He's covered in 151. He said he was afflambé. He was a prior jubilee. He would have made a lovely dessert served on lactose-free vanilla ice cream. He made his own waffle bowls. His clothes melted to his skin. This is the 70s, right? So that was probably a lot of polyester. Well, 80. Still the 70s.
And it melts like plastic.
And it melts like plastic. It melts to his skin. By the time the police get out of the car and subdue the burning man and get him put out, over half of his body is covered in second and third degree burns. And his skin's melted
to his polyester double knit clothes, and he's off to the burn ward. The most common thing that happens in these situations is the patient dies. Right? I mean, you lose so much skin, you have no immune integrity, and your body can't heal that much that quickly, and you die. But he was out in 6 weeks and back to filming Sir Crazy in 2 months.
Wow.
It's a miracle. Right? He was the most, and remains, the most relevant voice in comedy that we've had, right? He's the one who took the personal and turned it into the comedy routine, right?
I think Lenny Bruce is that ballpark.
Lenny died young. And he has more background influence on the people who followed him than, I think, influence over the marketplace itself.
You might be right.
Right? Pryor's... I mean... Even at his best, Lenny Bruce was still a joke, anecdote, you know, comic. Yeah, he was out there on the edge with his material, but he wasn't...
He was still doing that same style.
Yeah, and it was, you know, he was a joke teller, right? I mean, Richard Pryor told stories of his life, and nobody was doing that before. And God knows that it has changed the face of comedy. As influential as Pryor is, I don't know who else would qualify. Carlin, maybe.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe.
Do you think that's the way it's viewed, though, in the comedy world?
Oh, yeah.
That Richard Pryor and George Carlin are like the giants that were
standing
on the shoulders?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And we're generations down from it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Pryor influences... Well, gets influenced by Red Fox, right? And influences Eddie Murphy and Chris Rock, who in turn influence whatever assholes are going today, right? And if you get out of just the black experience, right? Without Pryor, there's no Louis C.K. Right, I mean that kind of personal stuff just didn't.
Yeah, that's
it. Didn't exist, right?
Well, no, like you said, they weren't telling those; they were telling jokes.
Yeah.
And Richard Pryor's like one of the first situational comedy comics,
as far as we can tell, the first. And there's an anecdote of him on tour, and he's this, you know, milquetoast little guy trying to be Bill Cosby. And he walks out on stage in some showroom in Vegas and looks at the audience and says, "What the fuck am I doing?" And walks back off the stage. And from that minute after, he's a different guy. He's, you know, he's the that nigger's crazy guy.
Yeah, okay.
Right? I mean, he brought, you know, the language and the experience of his life on the stage. Dude raised in a fucking brothel.
Yeah.
You know, military prison. I mean, see, he had a life. He had a lot of pain. And he just put it out there and made it goddamn funny. What's this? It's Richard Pryor running down the street, right?
Oh, that cracked me up. Is that on Netflix, do you think?
I don't know.
I should just look for Richard Pryor on Netflix and see what they got.
He's got, I don't know how many albums that I've never listened to. He's got, like, what, four specials? Or, you know, films, concert films, whatever you want to call them.
I think it's called Bicentennial Nigger. That's the one I've heard.
Okay. That one must have come out in 1976.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, God. Maybe we should take those keys.
These?
Yeah.
Do what?
Hide them.
You're kind of a dick.
Notice I suggested you should do that.
Well, if you do it, don't let me know. I want plausible deniability. I'm going to forget this conversation ever happened. Well, we were talking about Richard Pryor.
We were.
Okay. So, a couple of months after setting himself on fire and running down the street, 37 years ago today, he's back at work, finishes up Stir Crazy, does the Superman movie, does the toy with Jackie Gleason, does a couple other stupid things, Harlem Nights with Eddie Murphy, and has a solid career in the 80s, gets diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Right. And lasts another 10 years, maybe?
He slowed down, though.
Oh, absolutely, he slowed down, but he didn't stop.
No, no.
Right? He got to the point where he could not stand up anymore. And he would still go to the comedy store and get up on stage and do material from his scooter. And I believe the last movie he was in, his character was in a scooter the whole time. Because, you know, that's what he could do. But he just kept doing it and just kept going because Richard fucking Pryor. And he's the miracle of comedy. All right, well, we're done with our cherries. They were jubilant.
And fiery.
Mm-hmm. I burned my tongue. I can still feel it here on the right thigh. Don't have enough going on in my mouth right now. I got to add to it. So we will take our leave and say good day. We will be back next week with more bullshit, more beer.
You think?
More food. More history, and more of this asshole.
Hey, now.
I said good day, sir.
reached out a hand to touch your face. You slowly disappeared.